The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' When they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." O Lord, have mercy on us.
And thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the close of his story about the rich man and Lazarus, when the rich man pleads with Father Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment, Jesus has Abraham reply, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." "No, Father Abraham," the rich man argues, "but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." "Not so," says Abraham. "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. These were ominous words, spoken as they were by Jesus to a group of Pharisees, mere months before he himself rose from the dead. They're words that resonate in today's gospel as well. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Cleopas and his friend were very familiar with Jesus. They describe him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They tell how their chief priests and rulers had delivered him up to be condemned to death and had crucified him. But we had hoped, they despaired. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And then they say it is now the third day since these things happened. There's no mystery as to why Cleopas and his companion didn't recognize Jesus when he met them on the road and walked along with them. Luke explains for us, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. It was God's doing that they did not realize that it was Jesus himself who was walking alongside them and talking with them. Luke doesn't explain to us, though, why this was. As the account continues on, it seems certain that it has something to do with Moses and the prophets, that is, with the Old Testament scriptures. In his account of Easter morning, St. John 2 makes a point of the disciples as not yet understanding the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. These two men who were traveling to Emmaus as the sun was going down that first Easter shouldn't have needed Jesus appearing to them to understand. Their explanation of what they were talking about is a virtual paraphrase of Jesus' repeated prediction that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and elders and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Indeed, they had even heard a report that morning that angels had said that he was alive. But though they were quite familiar with the scriptures, with Moses and the prophets, they hadn't yet heard them with understanding. Jesus' rebuke to them was quite strong. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He judges them to be foolish and unbelieving. But notice what he does. He doesn't say, "Open your eyes, it's me." Nor does he say, "Oh, forget it. I don't know why I ever bothered with you." No, what he does is he leads them in a Bible study. He shows them what the scriptures say about the Messiah and the redemption he would bring. Luke records that it started with Moses. The first passage Jesus addressed may well have been from Genesis 3, God cursing the serpent, Satan. He, that is the offspring of the woman, he shall crush your head, and you shall crush his heel. He likely mentioned the testing of Abraham in Genesis 22. When the Lord provided a substitute sacrifice, in that instance a ram, in place of Isaac. The last word from Genesis may have been Joseph's words to his brothers. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive. Without a doubt, the Passover lamb would have been a highlight in Exodus, with mention also of the spiritual rock from which the people drank in the wilderness. For St. Paul writes, the rock was Christ. Jesus could have spent many hours on the whole sacrificial system set up in Leviticus, highlighting especially the Day of Atonement and the Ark of the Covenant with its cover known as the mercy seat. He might have spoken also of individuals, of Moses and Joshua and the judges, of Samuel and Elijah and Elisha, each of them something of a faint foreshadowing of the ultimate anointed one of God, the Redeemer of the world. Certainly the Psalms would not have been omitted. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. My God, why have you forsaken me? For my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. To mention only a few from the Psalm. Among the writing prophets, Isaiah may well have been most prominent. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And of course, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Also from Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. All of these, though, only scratched the surface of what had to have been an amazing Bible study that could have gone on for far longer than those 7 miles walking to Emmaus. This Bible study Jesus gave that day not only fanned into flame the hope that had all but died out, but had their hearts burning within them as he showed them in all the scriptures God's plan and purpose for their redemption, for your redemption, through the sacrifice God had promised to provide, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Finally, when they reached Emmaus and he agreed to stay with them, Jesus made himself known to them in the breaking of the bread. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. But when the minds of Cleopas and his companion had been opened to hear all that Moses and the prophets had said concerning the Christ, they were convinced. You and I have that same privilege as those Emmaus disciples. For through Moses and the prophets, helpfully interpreted and applied by the New Testament scriptures, Jesus continues to teach us. He teaches you the things concerning himself, that he is the Son of God who became incarnate, took on human flesh, in order to fulfill the law perfectly for you by his holy life, and in order to take upon himself God's wrath over your sin, to die your death so that you may have life, eternal life. Still today, Jesus makes himself known in the breaking of the bread. Indeed, he comes among us often in his true body, broken on the cross, raised on the third day, given for you to eat. Also in the wine, the New Testament in his blood, shed for your forgiveness, given for you to drink. Thus, Jesus unites himself with you, so that the Father, when he looks at you, sees his son, his only son whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. What Jesus did for the despairing disciples on the road to Emmaus, he continues to do for you and for me. He works through his word and the sacraments to change despair to hope, to replace sadness with joy, to give you to know for certain that he has redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is indeed risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. Blessedly, this is most certainly true. You are his. He has saved you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.